Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
How sweet that is. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mary Urena.
And this is Double Take. Oh, marriage, Mary. You know, you have a wonderful one, and I want to ask you a little bit later about it. But the movie today is a small... Would it be accurate to call Midwinter Break a small movie?
Yes.
All right. Tell me
it's
why.
It's small in budget, small in cast, and small in genre in this current age in which we're living.
Yes. It's a midwinter break couple. The wife decides that they need to take a vacation in Amsterdam. This is the place to go if you want to be wild.
Not. I have only heard rumors about how wild Amsterdam can be.
But it is a beautiful, beautiful city.
Beautiful city. And you experience it in a different way in this film because it is a unique film, not only in that it focuses on Jerry and Stella, a mature couple. It portrays them realistically, I think, in terms of what they're dealing with as they age, what they're dealing with within their marriage. But it's also a low budget, no big CGI special effects. It's truly a character-driven story about Jerry and Stella. And even in Amsterdam, it's shown in a very restrained, stark,
yes,
quiet,
yes,
way.
A nice dichotomy between her. It's played by Leslie Manville. Now, he is played by Cyrian Hines. And let's just say, this movie dies without these two actors.
Well, the casting obviously is critical.
I know.
Because the entire film is predominantly Jerry and Stella.
Yes.
And even then, I think it's skewed towards the character of Stella, played by Leslie Manville.
Yes, yes. And you could accuse the film of nothing happening in terms of drama.
Which is often the case with character-driven films.
Yes, that's right. Even the pauses seem to be filled with meaning. There could be moments when they don't speak, but many good couples, although you and Bob are both chatterboxes, so I can't imagine.
Bob would be surprised to hear him described that way, but okay.
Well, I certainly never found him boring and or without words to say. But
true.
Good couples like yours don't really have many pauses. But if you do, they're ones that two people who know each other well don't have to say things like that. And I think a little bit of that happens here.
Because of where we're meeting them in their lives, through early flashbacks, we learn that they're originally from Ireland. She is shot when she's very pregnant with their child during the Troubles in Belfast.
Yeah, 70s.
They decide after she survives and their child is born to leave Northern Ireland,
yes,
and travel to and reside in Glasgow, Scotland, which is where they have lived out their adult lives. But you sense in all the silences and the lack of dialogue that they are living as a married couple, but their relationship is almost non-existent or very,
yes,
strained. And it has to do with the weight that they both have been carrying from that day in Belfast,
yes,
where she was shot. And they've been medicating themselves over the decades in different ways. He has a problem with alcohol.
Yes.
And she is extremely devout to her,
yes,
Catholic faith, whereas he doesn't appear to have any faith whatsoever. And those elements and their orbiting around each other come to a head in this mini winter break in Amsterdam.
Yeah, and that's a nice contrast between her religiosity and his devotion to his drinking. And we don't get to know much about him other than he's an architect. The story does not develop him in a way that I would have liked.
I would agree. You don't have a lot of background developed. Even the Troubles, it's assumed,
yes,
that you know.
Yes,
and,
good point.
And so there's not a lot of time spent either in providing the background of the Troubles and this inciting incident that is burdened them and as a result their marriage for decades, and you don't get a lot of background. You meet them where they are today.
Yes, yeah.
Without a lot of information to go on, but you feel the strain in the, not only the dialogue, which you can tell they've been married coupled for a long time and take delight in each other and share a quick laugh or a touch on the shoulder or whatever that may be, but equally, especially in the character of Stella, she can turn on something Jerry's said or not said and get very angry very quickly. So there are the silences, there's the dialogue, there's the quick emotion sometimes. And so you're really meeting them where they are, and you're left to ponder, I think, and wonder everything that's brought them to this stage. And quite frankly, whether or not they will survive these revelations that come forward as a result of their traveling to Amsterdam for this weekend.
Yeah, I didn't quite buy the ending.
It's ambiguous.
Yeah, right. Although
it's hopeful.
Yes, it is hopeful. I really thought that they were moving toward her. Well, she does say that she wants to get her own flat, whether it's sell their flat and get her own place, but that seems to pass.
Right. As she goes through these very reactionary emotions.
Yes.
So you're not sure, and he's not sure whether she means it or not.
I think director Polly Finley does a really good job. This is her debut.
It is her debut, but she is a very experienced stage director, having done a lot with the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Yes, and I appreciate that, and I can just tell how much she appreciates her actors and how she lets this story develop in a kind of a slow burn. And perhaps that is the drama, that we're sitting there saying, okay, what is going to happen to this couple?
Well, it's so restrained, though, it almost feels tedious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're
so restrained in not only their dialogue and their relationship and seeing them go around Amsterdam, but then Amsterdam's really stripped bare as well. You don't hear the sounds of a big city. They're not dealing with crowds. Almost all of the environment that they're in is just the two of them.
They do have a sequence where they're going through the red light district.
They do.
Yeah. And I remember when I went there with my buddy Clay. And
are you going to stop there with telling your story about
Barry,
your trip there?
We know each other way too well. I'd like to share this in the best PG-13 way possible. But we had we went to a place, a kind of seedy place, where a couple was doing it, and they were going to be doing it two or three times a day. I was just astonished at this kind of, I've never seen anything like it before, much less seeing people on the stage doing it, and then to know that these same actors were going. So anyway, yes, it's a wild city, but boy, it has a class about it and a beauty that's really worth going to. You don't have to go through the red light district to appreciate that town.
Well, and in fact, we learn while we're there that Stella seeks out finding this very quiet, ancient courtyard where there's a Catholic chapel.
Love this part.
I'm going to mispronounce it. My Danish is poor, but the Begijnhof.
Okay.
And it actually is a true place in Amsterdam.
Wonderful.
And her interest in it is that she had heard of it a long time ago as a place where women who want to live a devout Catholic life can go live.
Yes.
And she would like to do that.
Yes.
Because of the burden of the promise she made when she survived and her child survived, that she would turn her life over to God, and she feels she has not done that. So that's part of the ulterior motive as to why she chose Amsterdam.
Yes.
and wanted to go there.
And come to find out, the order doesn't exist anymore.
It does not.
And I love that touch because it comes back to them.
Yes.
Even Amsterdam, that wild city, is not going to make the difference in their own lives.
No.
This seems to be the dramatic high points. And his going to the bar and talking to the bartender and reliving his life in some ways with the bartender is nice to see him in his element, which is still his excess drinking. But each one of them gets into almost the element, but it does not solve them at all.
It doesn't. And it proves, I think that's a universal human truth. Changing geography does not unburden of whatever is troubling you on the inside. Yeah. And they both have carried the weight of what happened and their decision to leave Ireland for decades now. They just medicate in a different way. That comes to a head, I think, where they actually start at least talking to each other about how they're feeling as human beings as a result of that and the life that they have lived as a result of all that.
Well, Mary Irina, we're very much like the movie. We've moved at a slow pace so that we have more to come. Oh, I think there will have more drama than they had in this movie.
Potentially.
Right, potentially. So it's called Midwinter Break, and we'll maybe explore the double entendre with break there. Mary, what do you suggest?
Now, it actually was released in the United States before its release in the UK, which is later this week. In this sea of modern films geared towards a much younger audience with a lot of special effects, this is a unique film with two really stellar actors. And although it's a flawed film, if you are seeking out fairly accurate story about mature adults and romance and marriage, then I think it's definitely worth a peek.
Yeah. Midwinter Break. Well, Mary, Midwinter Break. I remember when one of my marriages, we were going to the Bahamas.
Lucky you.
Right.
I hope it was in the midwinter.
Thinking somehow it would enliven our marriage or somehow change it, and it didn't, of course. It just burned up my wife under the sun. And so, but I think you had mentioned it, how this is universal in many ways for couples, not quite as lucky as you and Bob, but people who are reaching a certain point in their lives when they need to look at their marriage. And for her, I really liked Stella's urge to make something more out of her life. And it's very possible. I think of people who are retired who have never prepared for the retirement and how they look around and say, is this it? Whereas I know you and I and Bob have prepared very well.
Yeah, we don't get paid for what we do anymore.
Right.
We're volunteers in the community.
I know. And this is something you love and something you give, which is what she was looking for. She was looking to give and get something.
She was. She wants to pay the debt she feels she owes to God, to turn her life over to God, because her son was spared when she was shot in Belfast.
Yes.
But you have to wonder, and the weight of that being a debt versus a more positive motivation, and that has weighed on her for decades now, and it's obviously impacted her relationship with her husband in terms of feeling the weight of that debt.
Yes.
So I do question, there's no positive motivation there. I mean, there is because she lived and her son lived, but she feels the onerous burden of this debt as opposed to the positive version of, I survived, I've been given a second chance, and I want to go out and do something positive.
Yeah, Mary, I'm thinking that was nothing that she really was responsible for that happened to her. So why hasn't she developed herself? What does it take for her to decide, just the way she wanted to join that convent or whatever, why she didn't in her regular life, which has been 20 years or more?
Oh, it's been 40. I mean, this is a couple.
Yeah.
I mean, as actors, they're both in their early 70s.
Yeah.
Leslie Manville and Kieran Hines. So they are probably 40 years married at least. And
so my question was, what has she been doing? Has she just been fretting about this accident? Well, you know, which
yes,
is powerful.
I think she has.
I know.
She talks about at one point how she knew about the Beginhof was she was in Amsterdam for like a teacher's conference. So I think she was a teacher,
all right,
if I remember that correctly. But she heard about it decades prior, and she was still operating under the assumption that it still was a place where women could go live devoutly in their faith, borderline, but not taking orders as a nun, but that type of devoutness. She learns that it no longer functions that way, and it hasn't functioned that way for decades.
Leaving her with what?
Exactly. Angry that she has to go back to Jerry, who's at this point had how many drinks and is waiting for her.
What do you think the secret of your success, you and Bob?
Oh my gosh, that's such a deep question.
Yeah.
What I tell everyone, one, we married later in life.
Yeah.
And two, he makes me laugh every day and feel loved every day. And I hope I do the same for him.
But you both are, and from my index, you both are super at your volunteering.
We do. We share a lot of service in the community.
And things you love, and related to the arts, that and Pro
true.
Musica being the finest example.
That is true.
And you're still excited about it. You do more things than I even thought about on a particular weekend, and you guys seem not to tire at all in doing it. It's just admirable, but doing and sharing things together is something I didn't have the feeling for our couple in midwinter break. I didn't feel they had anything going.
No, you feel like they're living their married life together and managing their life together, but they don't really have a relationship. And at one point, Stella makes the comment that we're living in exile from each other, just exile from Ireland, which by now they could have gone back, but they established themselves and raised their son in Scotland, so that's where they remained.
You mentioned how important Leslie Manville is to this film. And I've seen Hines before in Belfast last time, I think, the movie Belfast. But Leslie Manville is really the heart and soul of this. And I wanted to mention a few things. Have you seen her before? And do you know about her before?
I have seen her. In fact, we reviewed Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris a couple years ago.
Yes, we did.
We also did Phantom Thread, I think, for Cinema Classics.
Thank you. Oh, Mary, you're great. You have a great memory. And those are two very fine films,
Fine films. Yeah. And she was actually nominated for an Academy Award for Phantom Thread.
Phantom Thread, yeah.
I can't remember if she was nominated for Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Outstanding, much more vigorous role for her in either one of those. Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris is cute. She's something of a Couture, as I remember, and she was going to get a dress that she wanted.
She was a charwoman who decided with the proceeds from her husband's death in World War II, she was going to go buy a couture gown in Paris.
Yes, it is a delightful movie, everything that the title promises you. I did want to mention that I had first seen her in Mike Leigh's films.
And she's done several of Mike Leigh's films.
Yes.
She's kind of a standard cast
yes,
for his work.
Yeah. The best one would be in Secrets and Lies. Mm-hmm. And then she was in Topsy Turvy, All or Nothing, and I think in Vera Drake, if I'm correct. But anyway, four films of Mike Leigh's, and he's a kitchen singer from Britain. If you get a chance to see any of his movies, they're very rewarding. She fits in perfectly. Actually, she was the nurse in Romeo and Juliet. I couldn't believe it. And just recently this year, she was in Cold Storage, which I saw. It's just a Liam Neeson toss-away movie. It's cute, though. I love Neeson's movies. And it's a bit of a...
I'm sure he's never heard cute referred to for his films. But if he ever listens to us, he'll appreciate that comment.
Thank you. You're so right. Anyway, she plays a little tough lady in the science fiction. She's good.
Well, she's amazing. And actually, one of our friends who plays bassoon for Pro Musica told us that she saw Leslie Manville and Jeremy Irons in a play in New York. I'm trying to remember which one she said it was. Long Day's Journey and Tonight, maybe. And just was blown away. Both of these actors starring in this film also have a theater pedigree as well.
Yes.
And in fact, watching this film, it reminded me of The Outfit with Mark Rylance that we reviewed 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And that film also... like this film, you could see it being on stage.
Yes, yes.
It has a very theatrical staging and feel to it, especially since this one's a character study. And it's also based on a beloved Irish novel from 2017 by Bernard McLafferty.
Yeah, right.
That the book apparently has this... there's not too much license taken with it. It is the two characters. Although I would imagine with the book, we go deeper into their psyches than what the silences that we experience and are supposed to interpret in the film gives us.
Well, I would have liked more of the Julie Delpy, Ethan Hawke
before Sunrise.
Yes, yes. I which I liked very much because there's so much chat.
But that's young romance. Old marriage, older marriage relationship.
I know, you're so right. More recently, Marriage Story came out with Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver. That's, again, they're younger, but he's a stage director and she's an actress, perhaps, an actor wife. it's a marriage breaking up and a family staying together, trying to stay together. Because there are not that many movies of marriage in movies.
About
tell me.
Mature couples.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what makes this unique.
Because I also pulled out Blue Valentine with Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams. And at the end of 6 years, she's hardly able to remember why she wanted to marry him. And there's another one where she's actually committed, and this isn't Blue Valentine. The troubles that a younger couple might have, as well as Revolutionary Road, Sam Mendes with Kate Winslet, a young couple in Connecticut, personal problems, trying to raise their two children.
But these are all younger couples early in their life. And most of the time when we're seeing mature couples who have raised their kids, they might even have grandkids portrayed in film, there's usually some sort of illness associated with it. Yeah. And here we have two individuals who are retired. They've been married for 40 years. They've had this burdensome event in their life that neither of them have dealt with, let alone with each other. You know, but they're still vibrant individuals. They still have sex. They do show some of the frailties of aging when he slips and needs help getting out of the bathtub.
Yep.
You see them in those subtle ways. They have a rhythm with each other as an aging couple. And she hears him fall. She knows what's happened. She goes in, helps him out of the bathtub. And now Leslie Manville is a petite woman. Mm-hmm. And Kieran Hines
he's overweight.
Large
wow.
man. And to see her assisting him getting out of the tub.
Yeah, you're right.
So they show that. Whereas with young, beautiful couples, you don't hear them having body functions or having any type of issues that have to be dealt with medically. And so this is a very rare portrayal, but I think it's an honest portrayal of what if we're all blessed enough to live long enough, we'll face in life.
I think one of older couple, not as old as these, but a woman under the influence, John Cassavetes, Peter Falk, and Jenna Rollins. And eventually he has to commit her.
Yes.
Their marriage is falling apart and she's going crazy. Yeah. So that's one, but you're right. Boy, it is tough. It was tough for me to define.
On a similar line, when I think about older couples in films, one that comes to mind is Terms of Endearment and the characters played by Shirley MacLaine and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
They are older. They're not married. They start to have an affair and develop a true affection for each other. And that's a wonderful film. It centers around the tragedy of her beloved daughter having cancer. But there's a lot of humor in it, especially as it relates to their relationship. But then a lot of poignancy.
Well, even in the Wild West, you had some couples, but they never went into in depth. The Searchers has a very nice couple way out there. John Wayne comes and he is the brother-in-law to her. She has an affection for him. So there's some tension there, but not developed at all. And I'm thinking of Shane. There's a very nice their couple there that has the young son who takes to Shane, who visits their place and works with them. Anyway, I'm digging to find it, so I'm glad you had it.
Well, there's certainly Bridges of Madison County.
Yes.
Clint Eastwood and Meryl Streep.
That's a good one.
An older couple in different stages
great.
Of life.
Yes.
You know, a romance develops between
yes,
them.
Yes, very good. Yeah.
So, but it's not all of these films show the warts of aging
and marriage right.
and older relationships. And it's a challenge because most people, they want the fantasized version, just like social media. They want the fantasized version of their life and the sanitized version. I don't know if this is destined to be a classic because I do think it is a flawed film, but it certainly opens the door and hopefully will be successful enough that it's worth taking the risk creatively to create stories like this.
Yeah, and it's called Winter Break, and I think both of us approve of it in its dramatic theatrical properties, but I don't think I predict that the producers are going to make any money on this movie.
Well, hopefully they didn't spend a lot.
But we will see it streaming. So very nice to have seasoned actors doing classy work to see that we can still produce those, even though we know the producers are not expecting much from it. Mary, I think we like the very story itself. We have matured here into something that is worth that is worthwhile, and it's called Midwinter Break.